Pelé is widely regarded as Brazil's greatest soccer hero, but there was one player whom some believe was even better, at least for a short time. Howler Radio's Matthew Nelson tells the odd and tragic tale of Manuel Francisco dos Santos, more commonly known as Garrincha.
When it comes to unlikely athletes, it's hard to think of anyone who defied logic more than Garrincha. Born with a crooked spine, warped knees and a left leg a couple of inches shorter than his right, the young Garrincha didn't seem destined for soccer stardom. But despite these physical obstacles, Garrincha built a reputation as one of the most skilled players in Pau Grande, the factory town where he grew up. Professional clubs took notice, but none of them were willing to take a gamble on the kid with the bent legs. Soccer historian David Goldblatt says that Garrincha only got a chance after proving himself at Botafogo, one of Brazil's biggest clubs.
And eventually he goes to Botafogo, and the story that is told, apocryphal or not, is that one of the kind of great defenders on the team is marking him in a game, you know, where they're testing people out, and he just takes the guy to the cleaners, and they sign him.
Garrincha scored a hat-trick on his professional debut in 1953, but he wasn't just about goals. According to Brazilian soccer expert Tim Vickery, what really made him stand out was his flamboyant playing style.
He wasn't a player who would run 80 metres. He would run a little bit, stop, run a little bit, stop. That very, very often, they doubled up or even tripled up their marking on him. I mean, it's a little bit like watching a Bruce Lee film, where he's able to fight off one, and then dribble around the next, and then dribble around the next.
Garrincha's style made him an instant fan favourite, but it wasn't always popular with coaches. By the 1958 World Cup in Sweden, Garrincha was regarded as one of the most talented players in Brazil, yet he found himself on the bench. Marcos Azevedo directed a recent ESPN documentary on Garrincha. He says that the forward was left out of the starting 11 because of his greatest asset, his spontaneity.
He didn't really follow any tactical orders from his coaches in his club. There was a lot of concern from the manager and the coach of the team that they didn't really know how Garrincha would perform, like on a world stage, whether he was really ready to handle the orders that he needed to follow.
Led by their new star and a teenager named Pelé, Brazil went on to win the 1958 tournament, their first World Cup. Now, when you tell Garrincha's story, Pelé's name will always figure. They both made their World Cup debuts in the USSR game, with Pelé up front and Garrincha wide on the right. A statistic worth remembering: when Pelé and Garrincha played together, Brazil never lost a game. But Garrincha's greatest moment actually arrives in Pelé's absence.
In the 1962 World Cup, Pelé gets injured in the second game and plays no further part in the tournament. Then Garrincha really has to step up. He becomes a one-man attacking force. He starts playing from the right wing rather than on the right wing. And he's scoring goals from free kicks. He's scoring goals with his head. I think in 62, it's a level of football that hasn't been surpassed many times.
Brazil won the tournament, becoming only the second nation to successfully defend the World Cup. Garrincha returned to his homeland a hero, and the fans start calling him the angel with the bent legs in honour of his unlikely form. He was widely considered the best player in the world, better than Pelé even. But his time at the top was painfully short.
His career effectively ends late in 62 when he suffers a serious knee injury.
And it's never right afterwards. I think given his kind of disability, he was always going to run into trouble. I mean, all footballers do on their knees, and man, this is a man really flipping his knees all over the place on the pitch.
Garrincha's knees weren't the only thing that brought his career at the top level to a quick halt. His playful playing style reflected his lifestyle off the pitch. Garrincha loved to party. Alcohol had always been a part of his life. You can find these archive clips of him stopping pick-up games for beer breaks. But it really started to tell after he hit 30.
Alcoholism is a problem that will only really show its signs after like a long period of bombardment in the body. By 1965, 66, his organism already gave signs that he couldn't handle anymore the amount of alcohol that he was ingesting.
As his performances dipped, the limelight began to fade. He formally retired in 1973 and spent the last years of his life drinking heavily and, as his savings dwindled, playing in exhibition matches, sometimes for as little as $50 a game. Garrincha died of liver disease in 1983, penniless and out of the public eye. But his death sparked an outpouring of emotion, and millions lined the streets for his funeral procession as the nation said farewell to the angel with the bent legs. For Only a Game, I'm Matthew Nelson.
For a link to Howler Radio, please visit onlyagame.org.